Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Bird to your mother, it's time for another episode of Birds with Friends. Just some high-flying, ran-fast, vertical stems of professors from Penn watching eagles eat and pray like Pazookies on birthdays. It's Philadelphia, Marissa, Bo, and Zach kicking it cooler than three penguins till Zach runs off with his valet keys. He's a real nuanced goose. Pull up a branch, get loose, it's time for some juice on some
Birds with Friends.
The early bird gets the worm, but prefers getting turned like a turn on some
Birds with Friends.
Marissa, Bo, and Zach are here to squawk. Don't miss the mistress talk on some.
This is what it's all about. We do daily podcasts for like 2.5 weeks during training camp.
We got all kinds of time for guests and nonsense.
I will open up a 2-hour block.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Birds with Friends on a Monday night, 10 p.m. on the dot. We're starting on time. Bo Wolf, Zach Berman here to talk about the joint practices, or I guess the first of two joint practices between the Eagles and the Cleveland Browns. And you know, Zach, the whole city is talking about Lionel Messi is coming to Philadelphia. What a treat that's going to be. It's like Michael Jordan coming to town. I think it's going to be overshadowed. It's a bigger deal. Today, at the NovaCare Complex, Michael Dunn came to town. Sit down, Messi. You know what I mean? You with me?
It was great to see Michael. Played well out there. Looked good out there. I hear he's having a really good summer for the Browns. But I'm not quite sure Michael Dunn and Messi are on the same level here.
Wow. Hey,
that's no disrespect to Michael.
Sounds like disrespect to me.
I think Michael would actually appreciate me keeping it real here. I mean,
listen, I'm here to gaz the guy up.
As am I. There's a scale between Michael Dunn and Leo Messi.
I think you're right. Yeah. Messi's here. Dunn is a little higher.
It's now a height joke, huh? Okay. You're muted. The Eagles, you're still muted. The Eagles and the Browns practice today. As we wait for Bo, you got just me. I'm going to tell you that these two evenings, the most important of the summer for the Eagles. And I say that because this is where the bulk of the substantial work is going to come this summer against a different team in competitive situations as we welcome our host, Bo Wolf, back to the pod.
You know, the audio people don't necessarily know that I've left. You could just continue talking, and then I'll just sort of seamlessly slide back in.
Seamlessly. So what I was saying,
the situation with this mic is a real disaster. You know, be nice to get some new equipment.
So what I was saying was these 2 days are the most important days of the summer, or the two most important days of the summer for the Eagles. Yes. Do you disagree?
Well, my motto is always the two most important days are the next two most important, or the next 2 days.
If that's your motto, I think over the scope of the summer, this is where we learn the most about the team.
Well, it's interesting you say that because let's get into it. If that is true, if we are going to learn more about the Eagles over these next 2 days than we have all summer, today was much different than we have seen the rest of the summer. And that would be a bit of a red flag because I cannot remember ever seeing the Eagles offensive line, the starting offensive line, dominated to the degree that they were dominated today by the Browns defensive line. It was like practice period drive ruining stuff. It was like, you know, every little period with the ones, they'd have five plays and Jalen Hurts would get sacked on two of them and like be flushed from the pocket on another. It was really bad. And so I'm very curious to see how they come out tomorrow. But Myles Garrett was giving Jordan Mailata the business, and then Garrett only played like the first half of practice. The interior was not doing a great job. In one-on-ones, they got dusted. I think my understanding is this Browns defense is on the come, as they say, should be pretty good. But I was not expecting to see this. And I think, we've said this before, we do the thing where we try to take a step back and recalibrate what we've seen. I'm starting to wonder, is it possible that maybe not only is the offense, like, I'm not worried about the Eagles offensive line. I think they have enough, earned will there. This is, Jason Kelce and Lane Johnson, they're going to be fine. But what I'm thinking is the degree to which the Eagles offensive line has been really good against the Eagles starting defensive line, maybe this Eagles defensive line and the Eagles defense as a whole is just not going to be very good.
Do you think the Eagles offensive line has been really good against the defensive line this summer?
I think the starters have mostly been good. I would say more often than not, the Eagles starting offensive line has won those matchups. Do you disagree?
It depends on the specific matchup, but I would.
I think the starters, I think it's been 70-30 because first of all, Hassan Reddick has not been in team drills a ton. Josh Sweat has done a good job, has had a very good summer. I don't think that, against the ones, Fletcher Cox and Jordan Davis are getting a lot of wins. That's against true. The Eagles interior.
So was it the interior tonight too? Because as I was remarking, like, we know how Jim Schwartz likes to play defense, and these guys get uphill. They're going to penetrate. You have Myles Garrett on one side, you have Za'Darius Smith on the other side, but they don't have that dominant three technique that Schwartz has had in the past. Were they getting interior pressure as well? And for the audience, I'm asking Bo this because I was mostly watching the Eagles defense on a different field, and Bo was mostly watching the Eagles offense on the other field. We lost you again. Okay. As we wait for Bo.
I'll stick around with you.
There's Kent. Kent, good to see you.
What's up, everyone?
So I'm just going to give a...
Oh, no. Bo's having some mic issues here tonight, folks.
Okay. So while we wait for Bo to come back, I'm just going to lay out what I saw when the Eagles defense was on the field. And I didn't think it was as pronounced as sounds like the offensive struggles were. I actually thought the Eagles pass rush was able to get home a bit. Bo, are you back with us?
For now.
Okay. So I'll hold that thought. Bo, pick up. Were they getting interior pressure as well, the Cleveland Browns?
They were. Dalvin Tomlinson had a good day. He Cam Jurgens has been really good in one-on-ones this year, I've thought. And they only took one matchup, but Dalvin Tomlinson dusted him. And then there was a lot of interior pressure. I mean, it's. I can go through my notes. There were like five periods with the first, the ones against the ones, and there were probably something like 12 sacks. It was something nuts like that. Like it was crazy. And they were coming from everywhere except against Lane Johnson. I don't know if like all of a sudden I'm like very high on the Browns defense or what's going on here, but I also did think, and you can tell me how you saw things on the other side of the ball. I thought the Browns were sort of bringing a little more energy to this practice. I thought Elliott Shore Park made that point, and I think he was right about that.
So this is an interesting point. And again, this is not something that one can measure, but certainly it's something that one can perceive. And I don't want to put words in ESP's mouth, but when he was bringing it up to me, he said how last year it seemed the Eagles just had more juice when they were there than Cleveland did. And I would agree with that, right? This is the thing that Nick Sirianni's trying to guard against. This is why he started his meeting this year the way he did. This is why he's continued to try to reiterate these points. And it's a big one. There's a thought sometimes when you get to the Super Bowl and you come back, it's like, oh, all right, we'll go through the motions and we'll wake up in February or in January and then we'll play meaningful games then, right? It's like nothing we do now really matters. And then Sirianni's point, or at least what he said to us, is he needs to reinforce that every day matters, every snap matters. But this is, you know, there are teams that start slow after making it for that exact reason. There's kind of, it's the flip a switch thing you hear in the NBA, and you can't necessarily be a flip a switch team in the NFL.
And I was not worried about that until today. And I don't want to make too much of one practice.
It's
no big deal, but we're doing this podcast on the day of. This is a time capsule. I was talking about this on, I'm going to be on the Robert Mays podcast, right? The Athletic Football Show. We've talked about
flex. That is a flex, right there.
It's not a flex. I just want to contextualize this.
Football show.
All right, calm down. I'm gonna unplug my mic if you keep doing this game. And he was asking about, like, you know, the reasons that they might not be good, and I said that the way that I feel about them coming off a Super Bowl and not having that want to, like the disease of Moore and all this, is that I sort of trust that they follow Jalen Hurts' lead where this goes, right? And I think that the team follows him more than it necessarily follows Sirianni. And I think that, like, I believe in his power of will a little bit and his cult of personality, but, like, they were definitely outjuiced today. Now, they played a game two nights ago, and I don't think the Browns did. Did they play on Saturday also, or did they play on Friday?
I think they played
on Friday. Again, we'll see what happens tomorrow. It's one practice, but if we're going to treat this like one of the two most important days of the summer, then yeah, I mean, they got like humbled today. It was not good.
And again, I didn't think it was as pronounced on the defensive side. So I'm taking your word for it there. But that's the general sentiment. And my follow-up question to you is how you kind of started this, which is, are you sure the offensive line is as good as we give it credit for?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still pretty
okay
bullish on the offensive line. I'm not really worried about the offensive line. Jordan Mailata is not going to see Myles Garrett every week, right? I mean, he's unbelievable. And it's funny, you know, you see him like walking around after practice. He's always got his shirt off. And you're just thinking, like, man, now I know what it looks like to look in the mirror. That's exactly what I look like.
Boom. There you go. Good job.
What an Adonis. I mean, he's awesome. And I mean, their defensive line is much better. Dalvin Tomlinson was really good in this practice, I thought. But I'm not really worried about the offensive line. They've been good all summer. I don't really see reasons why they would be worse. I think Cam Jurgens has had a very good summer. But today,
and this is why you hire Jim Schwartz, by the way, too, right? The play that style of defense.
But what style of defense is that?
Just attack, attack, attack.
Yeah, but I mean, Jim Schwartz has traditionally spent a lot of time on trying to stop the run. It's not the full Jim Washburn, you know.
That's fair.
Right. I mean, the Eagles had more sacks last year than they did ever under Jim Schwartz.
Well, and a lot of that too had to do with game situation, right? I mean, they were just playing with huge leads in every game.
Sure.
So that's that kind of inflates it. And they got to play against Carson Wentz. You know, they had, what, 12 sacks against Carson Wentz?
That's true.
I think it was. So, no. That's,
I'm interested and curious to see how they respond tomorrow. I would imagine that Sirianni and Stoutland are sort of reading them the riot act tonight.
How did A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith look? I peered over a few times and seemed Devontae was making a catch every time I looked over.
Well, those catches were mostly after sacks.
Okay. Yeah. Which can't happen in a game, of course.
So. Right, yeah. Most of those were after sacks. There was one where it was like sort of borderline and Jalen Hurts was running left and hoisted one to an open Devontae Smith. I would probably say that was not a sack, but it was close to a sack. It was good work. Even in one-on-ones, Devontae Smith against Denzel Ward was really, really good. Denzel Ward won the first matchup. Smith won the second one. A.J. Brown and Martin Emerson had a good little battle. It was the same thing. They split their two reps.
Ole Miss versus Mississippi State right there.
There you go. I thought those guys were okay. It seemed like, I don't know if this was a response to the Browns defensive line dominating, or if it was what was just in the script, this is what they were going to call on their plays today. But they, after the first sort of two periods, they started throwing to the running backs a lot more and sort of throwing quick passes to Dallas Goedert. Maybe this is what we can expect from this offense, is trying to push that button if things are not going well, to your boy DeAndre Swift and also to Kenny Gainwell. But there was not – I thought Hurts was – mostly fine. There was one deep pass to Devontae Smith that was a little bit underthrown. There were a couple of really nice throws on those pseudo sacks. It wasn't his fault necessarily what was going on today, but it was the story of the day to me was just how much the offensive line was getting crushed.
And
now, I should also say Landon Dickerson got dinged up about halfway through practice, and he was replaced by Sua Opeta at left guard, and then later, Josh Shills got some reps there, but that did not look like the reason for what was going on.
And
Kelsey also got banged up, and he both of these guys seemed to be okay.
Sure.
Okay.
That's interesting to me.
I'll close out on that side of the ball with the twos. Tyree Cleveland continues to show up. He made a couple really nice catches. I don't really think that he has a chance to make the team, but he's been productive over the past week. He's been their best. He's been better than Joseph Ngata. He's been their best. He's been their fifth best receiver.
Yeah,
over the past week.
And as you say that, we should just add in Quez Watkins and Britton Covey were both sidelined with hamstring injuries. So there's more opportunities higher on the depth chart today.
Do you think Covey is a lock?
No, but they don't really have a great punt return situation.
No.
I don't think Covey's a lock. I didn't think Covey was a lock last year, and I certainly don't think he returned well.
He didn't
make
the team last year, initially. Yeah. Remember, he was a practice squad call-up for the first couple weeks.
I do think, though, that's the spot where they can potentially upgrade, and they don't have a dynamic returner there otherwise. Something to watch.
We should also just say, like, the structure of practice.
Mm-hmm.
There really was no work for the threes on this day because those guys are going to play in the game, presumably. These two practices, it's basically just ones and twos.
Stefanski already said their starters aren't playing. And I imagine Sirianni's going to say, well, he probably wouldn't say it, but we can read between the lines.
He's got to say it at this point, right?
No,
it's not even worth asking. Like,
sure.
Because it doesn't, sure. They're not going to play.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay. I think that's about it from my side of the ball. Should we turn the page?
Yeah, let's turn the page.
All right. Tell me. I like this format because I didn't get to watch what you got to watch. You didn't get to watch what I got to watch. So
tell me what happened
on the other side of the ball.
So first off, a few depth chart things. I think the most notable depth chart note is Sidney Brown getting work with the ones. This was the first time this summer that I've seen Sidney Brown get work that high up on the depth chart.
As we predicted, let's pat ourselves on the back here.
Wait, I lost you there.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I said just as we predicted. Let's pat ourselves on the back.
Yeah. The Eagles were playing this three safety look with a hybrid linebacker more today than they have. It seems at other points this summer. I don't know if it was a matchup based on the Browns tight end situation or whatnot.
So let me ask you, was it like Terrell Edmonds playing linebacker or were there three deep?
Yeah. No, it was Edmonds in the block. Edmonds in the box.
And was there were there two other linebackers on the field, or was he basically one of two linebackers?
There were two other linebackers on the field.
Interesting.
At a certain time. So someone said, who were the hybrid linebackers? It was Edmonds, and then Kayvon Wallace was in there. I got to say, the view was a little tough for the defense.
That middle field, yeah.
And you don't have you can't really see depth as well, but you can see who's playing deep. And so when 30 was paired, when 21, Sidney Brown, was paired with 32, Reed Blankenship, that's noteworthy because Blankenship is the top corner. I'm sorry, the top safety. At corner, they played James Bradberry in the slot at times. I haven't seen that before.
Interesting.
Yeah, that was a new little wrinkle I saw.
That's new, yeah.
There were the linebackers.
And so when they did that, who was the outside corner?
Job.
It was Job, okay.
Yeah. There were times in there.
So no Avante.
Not in that rep, I believe. Yeah.
Interesting.
There were, and I hope that it wasn't because someone was in motion. Maybe it was because someone was in motion, but he did. Sometimes
well,
he passed
it off. Because then Job wouldn't be on the field, right? It would be.
Yeah, yeah. Then linebacker, there were a handful of different combinations. You asked Sean Desai before practice about the pecking order there, and he kind of implied that there.
I sort of bungled that question. I don't think he understood what I.
No, he understood. He understood. I don't think he wanted to answer it, and
because I don't think I asked it accurately. I want to know like what, how are you going to make your decision? What are the determining factors for who plays? But I think he was thinking about like splitting up the reps.
I just don't think he wanted to tell you the
well,
depth chart.
Sure.
Yeah. So there was Nicholas Moore. The first rep in there was Dean and Christian Ellis. And then, as we've seen throughout the summer, Nicholas Morrow alternated with Dean. With Ellis. There wasn't as much Zach Cunningham in there and Miles Jack with the first team. But again, they were mixing things up. There was actually one point where I thought Zach Cunningham had a good day. He deflected a pass that Reed Blankenship intercepted. And then he fit a run well at one point as well. But that's kind of inside football there because you don't know if he's supposed to be in that gap or if it was just fortunate that it was the cutback lane and the running back cut right back into him. Mm-hmm. But he was in the gap and the running back cut right back into him and Cunningham was there. So, boom.
He's got those long arms. You know, he can be in a gap with those long arms. That's good.
Yeah. So there were a handful of sacks or would-be sacks. Nolan Smith had one unimpeded. And Josh Sweat was back there. I had one written down for Sweat. I saw people say there were multiple. I had one. Jalen Carter would have been credited for one as well. But I also thought they gave up too many completions early on in practice. And there was a period there where Amari Cooper dropped two passes, it seemed like. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those could have been completions. The ball wasn't on the ground enough. Now there was the short passing game. I'm going to do the old MoMA thing here where I see a team for one day and give you like fantasy football advice. I think this one probably can speak with more conviction than MoMA because I've been reading the Browns notes and whatnot stories. David Njoku, man, pay attention to David Njoku this year. He had a good year last year. He catches everything in the middle of the field. And he is a tough cover. Why'd you make that face?
How many times are people going to tell me to believe in David Njoku?
Well, take it. I mean, This is the guy who told you James Bradbury last year, and this is the guy who told you Javon Hargrave the year before. And
guys,
this is
you
the
saw
guy...
every day, and you're putting David Njoku on that level. You're willing to stake your reputation on David Njoku?
And this is the guy who told you Josh Sweat, and this is the guy who told you DeAndre Swift this summer.
This is the guy who told you Isaiah Simmons.
Well, in the draft, yeah.
Okay.
I'm just saying, no, based on the
you saw
I'm saying
one practice.
Okay. All right.
And you're putting him on, you're like staking your reputation, guys you see every day.
Fine. deal. I'm just telling you, I liked watching Njoku out there. I thought he runs good routes, he catches things, he's a target in the middle of the field. So yeah, it's worth what I'm charging for it right now. Fantasy advice is David Njoku.
For the eighth straight year, watch out for fantasy sleeper David Njoku.
Elsewhere, I'm trying to think here. You got me to leave my train of thought. I mentioned Jalen Carter. He was active today. I thought Jalen Carter had a good practice. Carter, as I wrote in our practice observations, his summer has been defined more, I think, by the high watermarks than the consistency of it. But for what it's worth, I thought today was a good session from him.
For Carter?
Yes.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Are you a little bit worried about Jalen Carter, having seen him show up today at practice wearing like the sweatpants instead of the football pants?
No. No, it actually wasn't something that registered with me.
Okay. Well, I figured since the only other guy on the team who does that is Derek Barnett, if you're worried that he's taking the wrong piece of advice from the defensive line room, following the wrong guy.
I like Derek Barnett. I mean, I would tell Jalen Carter that it's prohibitive or inhibitive, rather, to have 15-yard personal foul penalties that extend drives that give teams free yards. Penalties are not good. But, yeah, that I think Derek Barnett had the fumble recovery in one of the biggest plays in franchise history. He had a number of fumble recoveries that year. He's gotten to the quarterback. Barnett's been a good player in this league. I have nothing against Barnett. I think the personal fouls got out of hand. And I think, again, we don't need to relitigate this, but I just
asked a question. We don't have to go down the whole rabbit hole.
No, it's the famous words about that Jim Schwartz said about Nigel Bradham. Do you want to quote it?
Jolly ho, I'm Nigel Bradham.
it was something along the lines of, and again, I'm not conflating these situations. There's a significant difference between a personal foul penalty and getting arrested or charged the way Nigel Bradham did, right? But the point was is that if you do dumb things, you're going to be labeled, you know. So anyways, that is the point that I was making on.
So Barnett. But Carter looked Barnett's good today good to you.
Yes, I did think Carter looked good. And I'm not alone in that opinion, by the way. It's not even groupthink. It's just
I think it's a little groupthink.
No, I mean perhaps it's confirmation bias, but it's not as if when I say groupthink is there are some reporters who they're watching practice with like three other people and then they all have the same thing in their notes, right? Like I was watching practice with Zach Jackson, Action Jackson, from The Athletic, our Browns writer, and also Robert Mays, who Bo's going to have on the who Bo's going to be on the Athletic football show with. But my point is I wasn't watching with other Eagles writers, and we were all jotting down at the same time. Oh, Jalen Carter looks good there, but then when I was doing my notes and I saw on social media the Jalen Carter thing, I said, yeah, I thought the same thing. Like, okay.
That's good. He needs to be stacking these days. That's, I mean, I think we're a little bit ahead of ourselves on the one rep from the other night. Like, he took two snaps. His first snap was getting to rush the passer on a third and long, like, against a guy he knows. It was a good move, but, like, it was one snap. It was one rush. Like, I just, like, we have this entire recent history of rookie defensive tackles. Quinnen Williams is one of the best defensive tackles in the league. Wasn't that impactful as a rookie. Mm-hmm. Dexter Lawrence, same thing. All these guys. Unless you think Jalen Carter is Aaron Donald, I don't think you can expect a rookie defensive tackle to even come close to what Javon Hargrave was last year. That's all.
Okay, that's fair.
And I think he might be great, but I think it's going to take some work.
Is that the threshold on Javon Hargrave last year?
That's who he's replacing. That's not the threshold for is he having a good season.
Is he
that's
replacing
the threshold
him?
For is the defensive line going to be as good? You know
so,
what I mean?
So let me ask you that. Is he replacing Javon Hargrave, or is it 60% Jalen Carter and 30% or 25% Jordan Davis and then
and Milton Williams.
Know, some Milton
yes,
Williams
all of those
in
things.
There. Yeah.
Absolutely. That is part of it. And I think Milton Williams is going to be good this year. I think he's going to be better than he was last year. I think Jordan Davis is going to be better than he was last year. I don't think the defense as a whole, I think the defense as a whole is going to be a little bit worse at every position.
Okay.
Except for maybe the edge. And even then, Brandon Graham's a year older.
Yeah. Look, I think a lot of it's, you know, situational too. I don't think they're going to be playing with these huge leads this year. And when you play with these huge leads, and they're going to be playing against better teams this year. If you just, I was doing something the other day, looking at all their games from last year again, and the amount of just, I don't want to say cakewalk games or gimme, but
sure.
You know, there were games when they just loaded up on sacks in like the second half when they were playing with double digit leads. So yeah, it's and that's why, not to bring up Gannon, but when I say when there's this idea that like Desai can't be worse than Gannon, Desai might be a better coordinator and the defense could be worse because they were number 5 last year in DVOA and they had 70 sacks. Like that's a really whole hard curve to be graded on. If for him to be better, he needs to have over 70 sacks or like 1-4 in DVOA. Good luck, you know.
If they're a top 10 defense, I would be really impressed. From a coaching
perspective. See, yeah, like I see Neptune 51 say Desai could and should be way better than Gannon. How are you going to measure that?
Zach,
right?
Don't you're not, you said you're not talking about him.
Hold on.
You're putting the moratorium on him.
I can't hear. So this is actually my fault because maybe it's when I say Desai's name, somebody's name that I say, starts the S-I-R-I. I don't want to say it. And then once that comes up, I can't hear what you say. So what did you just say? He's muted. Okay.
I said this is you said your moratorium. You're not talking Gannon. Yeah.
You're right. I'm not talking Gannon. You're right. You're right. I was talking this year's defense compared to last year's defense, okay. But you're correct.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. This is. And somebody asks, how do I feel about the offense? I think the offense should be really good. I think the offense should be a top 3 offense if everybody stays healthy. I think we could be worried about some injury regression, but I think the offense should be really good. And that's what matters more. And that's why the team should still be very good.
Yeah. And Jalen Hurts is – look, when Jalen Hurts is your quarterback, your expectation is for them to be really good. Like that's – the baseline is really good. So –
okay. How did Michael Dunn look?
Did not get a strong enough look because of where the offense was on the other side. So I really didn't get a chance to see much of Michael Dunn, but I did ask around in Cleveland or among the Cleveland reporters, and he's looked good this summer. And I didn't think he did anything.
He's got that dash strength in the trenches now.
Yeah. And I didn't watch one-on-ones. You did. How did he look in one-on-ones?
No, I was watching. There were two separate fields. The Browns offensive line against the Eagles defensive line was further away. I was only watching the Eagles offensive line.
Yeah, that second field makes it tough when the offense is on the other, when the team that has the ball is on the other side, because you really can't see much from there. You can only see kind of the result of the play. You're blocked by all the D-backs. Mm.
It was interesting, Zach, like watching just before and after practice as the two teams intermingled. I want to throw you a softball here. I want to show off the power of the Zach Berman Encyclopedia. Mm-hmm. How many Browns-Eagles connections can you name?
Oh, goodness, so many. I mean, start with Jim Schwartz walking out, okay, like the alpha. Rodney
McLeod.
Howie
comes over, gives him a big old hug.
Yeah, I saw him talking to Fletch. Rodney McLeod out there. D-backs are catching up with him. The Berry Brothers.
And you know what? Shame on them for not pulling a sister-sister this week if they don't do it. I mean, they've got to at least attempt it.
Sister-sister, like, meaning?
Yeah, like dress up as each other and see if they can see how long they can get away with it. Put on, one of them puts on the Eagles gear, one of them puts on the Browns gear. Let's see what happens. Who notices? Who really knows us?
if you're interviewing both of them at the same time, make sure you take video. That's my that's my advice.
All right, we're on three.
Yeah, so I saw Carson Walsh in there.
Carson Walsh. I didn't know he was there. That one was a surprise to me.
Yeah, Carson Walsh is on that Browns staff. As we keep going on down the list here, going up my head. I mean, I don't know if Bob Quinn counts. Bob Quinn. This is like a Kevin Bacon game. Former Lions GM. I saw him go up to Matt Patricia. The two were linked together in Detroit.
Okay.
Gave each other the fist pound.
All right, I'll give you that.
Okay.
That's five.
So I get credit there. The actual roster itself. I mean, you know, Deshaun Watson, that's a little too tangential. I saw Deshaun Watson shake hands with some people there who he might have come across it at some point.
What does that mean? Why does that have to be?
I'm being cryptic.
Well, yeah, you're making it sound salacious. What is it?
No. Sorry. No. No, nothing salacious. Just
you're
Eagles
saying,
personnel people.
You're
he
saying
might
the idea that the Eagles were trying to trade for Deshaun Watson, that he was maybe talking to Howie Roseman. Is that what you're implying?
Oh, no, not at all.
Or Dom, is that?
Yeah. I was referring to Dom.
Okay.
Yes. I don't know. Who am I missing here? In terms of the roster itself, I don't know. Who am I missing? You tell me.
Let's see. You got Catherine Raich, the Browns assistant.
Of course.
GM.
Yeah. I saw Kat.
That was a good one. One that took me a little bit by surprise was Roderick Johnson hamming it up with Joe Thomas. Roderick Johnson, you know, a fifth round pick of the Browns back in 2017. Mm-hmm. That was a good one. Saw Amari Cooper chatting it up with his boy Jeff Stoutland going back to their Alabama days.
Mm-hmm.
That gets us to eight.
So that counts. Okay. So the college connection counts?
Well, if they were like, yeah, hanging out. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's as much as the Quinn Patricia one.
That's true.
That gets us to eight. Greedy Williams.
Oh, so we're including Eagles that were former Browns as well. Okay.
Why wouldn't we? What do you mean?
I thought you meant players on the Browns who...
Well, just the connections between the two of them.
Okay.
You've got, of course, Joe Banner, Dion Lewis, and Mike Bell.
He wasn't there today.
Marquise Goodwin. Good one. In the chat. Yeah, there we go. All right. That gets us to 10.
If you're talking about former Eagles Browns, you know, Jerome Harrison.
Of course.
You had him. But no, I'm saying, so if you want to get
into... Do we do an Immaculate Grid thing, just the two of us, where somebody names another team and we just have to go back and forth naming the Eagles?
I mean, the big one here is you know, Kevin Stefanski. Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah, I knew you were going to go here.
Kevin Stefanski was a former Eagles intern. And there was a point in my life, actually, where I was a PhiladelphiaEagles.com intern after my freshman year of college. And Kevin Stefanski was an intern the same year. He was at Penn at the time, a few classes above me. But Stefanski, you know, I asked him about his memories. He really was not.
I heard he shut you down a little bit. I heard he gave you, as it was described to me, gave you nothing.
Nothing might be generous. Yeah. I mean, that's the biggest, like, I guess I'm spoiled by Sirianni. If I
ask that question, even indulge like a little, like,
if I asked that question to Sirianni, we would have had a 7 minute answer.
Yeah, people would have been mad at you because it would have been an 8 minute answer. Yeah.
Last year he was in Cleveland. He got asked about Mount Union. And Mount Union's like an hour from there. And all my goodness, the you know, they had to hold the buses for him to finish the
organization.
That.
He's here and he wouldn't give you anything?
Not really. And then I said he missed Lehigh days or something like that. You know, I wanted to get into, you know, here he was just this intern staying in the dorms and eating the mess hall food. And no, he said they're so lucky that they have training camp in Brea because they have great fans with the Browns. But he does remember going to Westchester.
Come
he does
on,
remember going
dude.
To Westchester growing up. And then one of the
game.
Yeah. But I like Kevin Stefanski. There was a big St. Joe's prep.
You only like him because he's from here.
And there was a big St. Joe's prep presence.
If he was
practice.
From any of the other 49 states, you would not like him.
That's not true. I like most people.
Yeah, I guess that is true.
I'm looking at the
and
coaches.
You especially like people in positions of power.
Scott Peters was drafted by the Eagles, actually, from Arizona State. I remember that. Bill Callahan used to be on the Eagles staff. Of course, we know Jim Schwartz.
What are you looking up right now? You can't look it up. That's cheating.
Oh, I thought we were finished the main part of the presentation. Okay.
Well, yeah, but I mean, okay. You just look up Scott Peters.
And then the front office. Let's
I think
see
Broderick here. Bunkley played for the Browns at one point.
Okay. Okay. I mean, I know Chris Gokhan played for the Browns. Sheldon Brown that played for the Browns.
Sheldon Brown for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else from that side of the ball?
Let's see here. Not necessarily. No. I think that. Oh. No, I would say that about it. Nick Chubb looks good out there, but you can't really tell with the runs. But yeah.
Okay.
What's so funny?
The second best player on their team looks good out there.
Fair enough. But no, overall, I do think that it wasn't as if the Eagles defense won today. And
okay.
You said the Eagles offense was
but it was
overmatched.
Was it close to a draw, or would you say would you give the nod to the Browns offense?
I would actually give the Browns a slight edge. Okay. I think the Eagles had more sacks, but they didn't get them off the field as much, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Someone could have a different interpretation watching.
And was N'Kobe Dean a full participant?
Yeah, he seemed that way. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Sean Desai, by the way, said they have about 98% of their defense in right now.
Did you believe that?
I do. I don't know when they're going to show. I guess they do it in walkthroughs because.
You know, it was actually funny today because we got to the Sean Desai press conference was earlier than usual. It's like a full hour before practice. And so we got to walk in and see an actual walkthrough that they were doing, which we don't usually get to see. It's kind of funny. Like, What was funny about it is like they weren't in jerseys, and it was like just like AJ Brown dressed in his clothes and Dallas Goedert dressed in his clothes. He's got his hat backwards and they're just like walking through the motion.
I actually don't think we just lost you again there. I think that's what their day of practice walkthroughs are like. My understanding is that their in between walkthroughs are a little more spirited than that. Like,
yes. I agree. Yeah. Like just them going through the motions was kind of funny.
Jordan Mailata was barefoot. Landon Dickerson was in flip flops. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah. You know, they had their backpacks out there. You know, they were all gathering their backpacks to go inside. Yep.
Okay.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right. What do you want to see tomorrow?
Well, the Eagles need to show better offensive production, clearly, right? I mean, I assume I'm taking the offense tomorrow. So a big burden on my shoulders to chronicle that as well as you did today.
You got to get him to turn it around.
I don't know about that. No, the offensive line, I'll be watching that closely. Yeah, that's probably the big thing. We should mention that Sean Bradley is on IR now, out for the season. The Eagles added depth at nose tackle.
Yeah, weird that that was the spot that they needed to add. It's like one of the two deepest positions on the team.
Yeah, I mean they're really light at linebacker, and that's why I think you're going to see more of these heavy packages, heavy safety packages.
Okay. How you what do you want to see tomorrow after the late night drive home on Saturday night?
I got to tell you, that drive home was, Emily would be scared if I said it was a little shaky, but I was tired. I didn't get Rumble Sticks action, right? Like, it's not like, but
what's Rumble Sticks? Saying?
On the side of the road, the rumble, if you drift off and you go on the rumble. I didn't quite have the Rumble Sticks, but there were times when I had to, you know, like slap my face. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to be careful, Zach.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Do you think about pulling over and just take a half an hour nap, close your eyes?
No, because once I do that, I'm out for the night. So I fought through. I got home. Rumble Strips, not Rumble Sticks. I'm sorry. Okay. I apologize there. It's like salt of the earth and dirt of the earth, right?
Rumble Stillskin. Yeah.
But that ride, no, I listened to, when our pod went up, I listened to that. I did not do a good enough job. You did great. My voice modulation was not good because the mic was between us, and I think I was a little too far away from the mic.
We did, yeah, we did. We were talking about that. You gotta lean in. Don't be scared of close physical contact with me.
Yeah, yeah. So I
although
felt
on
I
that night maybe you should have been.
Oh, because you were.
Well, I'm not saying I'm not neither. We'll neither confirm nor deny.
Gotcha. Okay. I'm Benjamin Culp says, wait, I have a question. I'm curious what that question was. Well,
don't read that until he's asked the question.
But I was listening to Philly Special for a part of it. And then I was listening to our pod for a part of it.
Okay.
And
you feel recovered? This doesn't help, you know.
This isn't that bad.
It's a good shirt you got on. I like that shirt.
Thank you. It's nice you to say. Yeah. What do you like about it?
It's a good color. Big buttons too, it looks like. Is that a polo or a button down? It's a polo, those are the top two buttons.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a good shirt.
It's a three button bowl.
Three button bad boy. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Anything else you want to get? Oh, there's something I want to ask you.
There's one more thing we got to talk about.
Last night.
Yes.
Where else would Bo rather be than with Shield? So, let's share the two best friends anyone could have.
This is so ridiculous. You were invited. you could have bought tickets yourself. You were invited to join the show the entire time. You decided you had better things to do. So, yeah.
I was working last night.
Shield went. Yeah.
Okay.
You didn't have to be. Anyway, we got to go to the Mount Joy show with Shield and Jessica, Rachel and I. Had a wonderful time. We got to hang a little bit with Seamus Clancy, too. Shout out to Seamus. What a treat. What a delight. I haven't been to I'm worried this will make Matt and Mountjoy feel less cool, but like, you know, I haven't been to a concert in like a decade, something like that.
When was the last concert you attended?
I don't know. The concerts that I would go to were because my buddy, a shout out to Matt Wong, my my old roommate, was a musician, so I would go to see his concerts. Okay. I'd see he was playing with Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah, and see my buddy Reed at Up the Chain. But you know, it's not. It's I like to be the supportive friend. Hmm. But it has been, you know, it's been a treat for me. Like, I'm not going to just start listening to new music. I don't have that in me at this point in my life. So for me to like have gotten to know and become a fan of Mountjoy over the past, you know, year plus, it was awesome. And just to see them live, what a show. They were killing it. Jason Kelce and Connor Barwin came on stage at the end. I had a wonderful time. It was great.
Good. I mean, I'm genuinely happy for Matt and for Mountjoy. I mean, I'm grateful that he listens, and he's got a lot more fans than you and I do. So, I mean, credit to him.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, I mean, yeah. And I felt like I said this to him. It's kind of weird, but like I felt like a sense of pride watching him up there. Like, I mean, he's so cool up there. Like, and they're putting on such a good show. He's the man. Everybody's infatuated. It's awesome.
I'm curious. I mean, look, I as I say this, I feel like I'm asking a post game question here, but I'm curious if the second night it has any less juice or because we did talk about how physically exhausting these shows are, and there's probably such an adrenaline rush for that Saturday night show. Mm. Now you got to come back for the Sunday.
Well, even the Saturday night show, they're coming off two nights at Central Park right beforehand.
That's true. Exactly.
Now, and he said during the show, they were a little bit worried that, you know, the Sunday night show, you know, people got to go to work on Monday. It might not have the same atmosphere, but they were happy with what the crowd was giving them. So that was good. And then we got to, you know, we did get to go say hi. After
you're sharing this. Okay. All right. Well, there you go.
We got to say hi to Matt. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You're sharing. Finally, you got backstage pass.
Got to meet him in person.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You're sharing. What a delight.
But also what a come down that must be. Like, you know, you step off the stage. You've just been like, you know, thrilling this crowd for 2 hours. Yeah. And now it's like, okay, I got a hobnob with Bo Wolf.
I mean, come to think of it, that's kind of like what the media is at the Super Bowl.
It's right? Literally like that. Yeah.
They just played the Super Bowl, and now they're sitting there by their locker. Right.
And everybody's looking at me.
Exactly. Yeah. But look at that, backstage passes. How do you get that? I'm so curious about this. How do you get
orange
backstage?
Wristband?
Okay.
I mean, we were on. Matt put us on the list. What, you know?
When do you know to go back there?
What do you
want to
say?
There's not like an announcement. Those with backstage passes. So do you meander over during the first, during the last song?
No. Just we waited till the show was over.
Gotcha.
And now I will have to say, I don't want to be the one to describe this, but you know how my crowd walking talents. We had to the four of us. Make our way across this sea of people walking in one direction, and we had to cross through them and make some headway. Let's just say I shut off a little bit. It was pretty good.
I mean, you don't have to tell me this. I take walks outside during the summer to prepare for any type of airport or press box, you know, locker room. Bo's crowd walking is incredible.
There was a the guy who was guarding the backstage area, you know, like anybody in a bit of a position of power. He's, you know, he's making these decisions, but then we get the call like, okay, you guys can come in. Again, I am not a cool person, so it was cool to feel cool.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. I'm very grateful. I had a great time.
Good. I'm happy for you.
Excited for them to come back to Philadelphia. And now they got it now. And to your point, it's like they do these string of four straight shows and they just got to get on a bus, drive to St. Louis and stop in Ohio for a day.
But they have what's the term he used for their bus? The condo bus?
The condo bus. Yes. Yeah. Yes, remember, so. 2x2s instead of 3x3s.
Exactly. So,
but still, well, sleep on a bus. Yeah.
I'm happy for you and Shio, and I'm glad you and Shio got to spend some quality time together. So,
You gotta stop making these comments. This is your decision to not go.
I didn't know it was gonna be a couples night.
What did you expect?
I didn't know. Someone says Zach's definitely jealous. Yeah, I mean, I showed Emily the picture, and she said we weren't invited, or something like that. And I said I didn't know it was going to be like a double date.
Well, first of all, it wasn't necessarily, but we listened to the music. They listened to the music. We were invited. You could have come too.
That's okay. No, I am happy for you. I am happy for you.
Don't play the victim here.
There's no victim. I am happy that you and Bo got some, or that you and Chiel got some quality time together.
Yeah. Next time, the person threat level midnight makes the correct point in the chat. Next time, I'm going over your head. I'm going straight to Emily.
She is the social director in our house, so that is true.
Okay. And hopefully on Wednesday, we're going to get to meet Madison.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait. I'm most excited to see Marissa. But yeah, Madison as well.
Shots fired at Madison?
I'm more excited to see Marissa.
I've met Marissa before.
I'm more excited. I'm more excited to see Marissa, my friend, than Madison, the baby. Once I see Matt, I mean, what am I going to do? That's not a wild take. If your brother has a baby,
Got the rest of your life with this baby. I think this is a wild take.
I don't think so. What when people say you have to see the baby? Okay, you see the baby, and then what?
Anti-baby. As a father, dude, you're coming out anti-baby?
Love.
You're going
love
babies or Trey Sermon? They're overrated?
Love babies. I'm more excited to see Marissa, see how she's doing, see how she's holding up. She probably, you know, she's – look, I saw this with Emily. When you're home with the baby, when the baby's first born, that's arduous, right? So this is some social interaction. So, yeah, I think that's awesome. I'm excited to see her.
All right. I mean, we're going to have to wait and see what Marissa thinks about this. Okay. You coming out anti Madison.
Real quick, two Eagles related things that were announced today. Jason Kelce has a documentary coming out, I believe September 12th. And it is, they had cameras following him around last year. So I am excited to see the behind the scenes of that. And then Jalen Hurts officially a member of the Jordan brand. So big news there as well.
You were all over that one.
Yeah. I had a story on February 1st about his affinity with Michael Jordan or for Michael Jordan.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw those photos they posted. Then I went to go check. Has Zach tweeted his story yet? And it's like 3 hours ago. All over it.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, that'll do it for this episode of Birds with Friends. We'll be back tomorrow night, same-ish time, I suppose. And then we'll be back on Thursday night. So a lot of late nights this week. I don't know if that's necessary, but here we are. For Zach and Matt and Madison, but not on behalf of Zach. I'm Bo.
Excited to see Madison, too. Excited to
we
see
thank you for time. Listening. And as always, unless you're a baby, we love you. Birds with Friends.